You need to turn to Acts chapter 4. That's where we'll be for the preaching of God's Word. As you turn to Acts 4, I was encouraged this week on a side note with the opportunity that Pastor Fred and I had to witness to a couple of people at the hospital that we were at. The Lord really opened some doors to share the gospel. We tried to be a good testimony to everybody that we came in contact with and to share with them why we had hope in that situation. And boy, it just seemed like the Lord really allowed us to have some open doors and glorify the Lord Jesus. That was a real blessing and encouragement. And I can just picture my mom, even though she was not alert and responding, that perhaps she was hearing it and rejoicing in her situation there being used for the honor and glory of the Lord. Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Notice what it says there, and this is, by the way, Peter and John, as they went to the temple, and they were able to heal somebody, and then they were called into question by the Sadducees, and I believe the Pharisees as well, and they were beaten and then released, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I want you to notice there that there was boldness that was requested, and there was boldness given. Why was the request for boldness made? Because the disciples, trying to obey the Lord's command, which was to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth, as they began to do that, they faced opposition. They faced what I would call tyranny. Now, they were commanded by God to get the gospel out. They were not harming anyone, and yet they were being told that they could not preach in the name of Jesus, and then they were sent home. And so what I want you to see is the answer that they gave, or the response that they had to this tyranny, was a request for boldness, and God gave it. Now, we're in a situation now where, as we see all around us, there are some things that I would say I'm not real happy with what's going on and everything that's being done, not so much necessarily in our state, but around our nation and certainly around the world. By the way, if you think it's bad here in the U.S., in other places around the world, they are facing much worse situations. And of course, their governments don't have near the concern for personal liberties that our government does. But missionaries in Uganda are having a real tough time. Missionaries in Ghana are having a tough time. Brazil, Mexico, things are much more locked down in those areas. Bulgaria, South Korea, and all those things. So it's bad in a lot of different places. Sometimes because of those things that we see, our response is, and I'm not going to argue for or against whether or not those things are tyrannical, okay? I would, you know, let people argue over that, but that's not the point of the message. What I want you to see is, if you and I are looking forward to days where perhaps our government does things they shouldn't do, or maybe other governments around the world do some things they shouldn't do, and that causes us to not be able to preach the gospel the way we would like to, with all liberty and freedom, without having to have opposition, what should our response be? In other words, this: should we get on our knees and beg and ask God to give us freedom? Perhaps. But what I want to point out to you is that's not what the disciples asked for. They didn't get on their knees and say, Lord, please deal with those Sadducees. They didn't get on their knees and say, Lord, please deal with those Pharisees and straighten them out and God deal with them. No, you know what they did? They got on their knees and said, God, give us boldness to do what is right, even in the face of what I'm going to call tyranny. And you know, that's a good lesson for you and me. And I thought of it this morning as I was meditating on things and praying things. And listen, I have to pray about these things constantly because they bother my heart and they irritate me and so many other things. And I have to go to the Lord on a consistent basis and say, Lord, help me with all this. Help me to do right and certainly help our nation and the other nations around the world. And the Lord reminded me that, you know, the request that you and I need to ask for is not necessarily just praying that things would be taken back to normal, although that's maybe not a bad prayer. But a more important prayer, a better prayer would be, Lord, in the face of all of this, give us boldness to do what is right and to preach the gospel no matter what. And I want to encourage you tonight with that. I want to give you three questions that you can ask yourself about boldness. Let's pray and then we'll get into the message. Thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word to your people. Thank you for this message that you gave to me. Thank you for the wisdom that the apostles had to ask for boldness. Thank you that you answered their prayer. And now, Lord, would you teach us what it is to ask for boldness? And would you even apply it to our hearts? Now, Lord, I know that so many of us are concerned with what is going on. And Lord, I do feel that there's some right thinking in being concerned. I do feel, Lord, that things aren't being done the way they should. And Lord, our country is losing some liberties that we should have and we were given by you. But Lord, with all that, I know that all of that too, Lord, is just really in your eyes, it's not the most important thing. That Lord, you're the one who has called us to a higher work. And I also know, Lord, that you said in your word, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And Lord, all of us are chosen to be soldiers, not to make sure that the United States of America is what it should be, but to make sure that the gospel gets around the world, to make sure that our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our relatives, that they know who Jesus is and his saving power, that the tribes and nations all around this globe have an opportunity to accept or reject the gospel. That's the mission that we've been given as your soldiers. So Lord, would you help us to focus on that? Lord, help me. I struggle with that so, dear Lord. Would you change my thinking, change my heart from preserving my earthly life to working to glorify you, to not seek the things which are below, but the things which are above. Please, dear Lord, do it for me, do it for every person that will hear this message, whether now or later, whether by video or audio. Please, Lord, would you help us and use this message on boldness for Jesus' sake. And Lord, we do love you. We thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Three questions to ask yourself about boldness. The first question is this: why should we ask for boldness? Well, the obvious answer is because without boldness in the face of opposition, like the apostles were facing here, and by the way, we're not facing anything like that yet, are we? But just looking ahead and saying, boy, this could really go in a bad way, and perhaps some people in high government are trying to set us up for a situation where we would be like the apostles, then the obvious answer why we should ask for boldness is this: because without it, we will sit on the sidelines in defeat. You see, if the apostles had not had boldness, then they would have been afraid to preach the gospel and they would have ended up sitting on the sidelines. And that is inexcusable, friends. It is not okay for us to sit on the sidelines. It is not okay for us to pretend as if because now we're facing opposition, we can't give the gospel and be bold in our witness if it comes to that. I want you to understand that would be like the United States military, which is, from my understanding, the finest fighting force probably the world has ever seen, but definitely in our time frame, the finest fighting force anywhere in the world. And can you imagine the United States military in a situation where they cowered on the sidelines in a battle when the battle raged around them? I can't imagine that. But that would be an example of what it would be like for you and for me to sit on the sidelines, because you see, we may not have Our weapons are not carnal, right? But our weapons are spiritual, and our spiritual weapons are greater than even the carnal weapons that the United States military has. I was reminded this afternoon as I prepared for the message here this evening of the story of the Battle of the Bulge, and I believe it was December 23rd, I believe it was, and the year would have been 1944, when, of course, the American Army, which had advanced so far into Europe and was in the Ardennes Forest there in Belgium, and the Germans had launched one final counterattack, and they had broken in through the American lines and made a great big bulge in the line toward the west. Well, they had gone so far that they were able to surround quite a few American soldiers from the 101st Infantry. I believe it may have been in Bastogne, but I forget exactly the place where it was. And the German officers sent a party of two different German soldiers with a flag of truce, and they went in there to Bastogne with an official letter from the German commander, and it said basically this: you know, the tides of the war have changed, you're surrounded, and you know, we will treat you well, and we know that you don't want your soldiers destroyed, and so you need to surrender to us. And so the American soldiers that got that copy of that letter, they took it to their commanding officer and said to him, "Sir, what do you want us to do? What response do you want us to send back?" And his response was, "Nuts." And that's the official letter that they sent back to the Germans, and it was funny because the Germans had no idea what that meant. They had to ask over and over and over, "What does that mean?" Because it was American slang at that time. But I like that response. It was the idea of, hey, we don't care what the odds are, we are not quitting. And of course, they ended up winning, didn't they? What a blessing that was. And I like that mentality, and that's kind of the mentality we ought to have. But we're going to need boldness from the Lord. We need to ask for boldness because without it, we'll sit on the sidelines, and also because with it, the name of Jesus will be magnified. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. We were already in verse 23, but look at verse 13. Acts 4 and verse 13. Notice what boldness does. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and by the way, as they faced the council of the Sadducees and Pharisees, telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The reason we ought to ask for boldness is because without it, we sit on the sidelines, and secondly, because with it, the name of Jesus is magnified. There's something about boldness, as we see here in Acts 4:13, that stands out to people when we preach with boldness in the name of the Lord Jesus. If we're just mealy-mouthed about it, if we're just half-hearted about it, then it will not glorify the Lord Jesus. But if we're able to speak it not with anger, not with pride, not with arrogance, but with kindness and gentleness, and at the same time with boldness, it will have an effect. Again, with the, you know, as you can imagine, the passing of my mom is just still, you know, in my thoughts consistently. And it was such a blessing to me, as I mentioned to you before, to be able to be there in the hospital room, and you know, having my brother with me was nice as well for the last little bit of time. And together, as people came in, we were able to right away say to them, and I tried to do this with everybody, as they asked me how we were doing, to be able to say, "Listen, we are doing just fine. We are Bible-believing Christians. Therefore, we believe that through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, that we know that we're going to heaven, that therefore my mother is on her way to heaven, and she's this close to being with the Lord." And as we were able to tell people that and have a smile on her face, and by the way, also be easy to please, which is always a good thing when you're in a hospital situation, isn't it? One of the nurses I heard say to the other nurse, "Listen, these folks are easy to please." She used some words like that we were low maintenance, I think is what the words that she looked for. And we as Christians ought to be that way, right? But not only low maintenance, but that we are confident and happy and joyful and rejoicing in the things of the Lord, even in the face of problems. And we ought to have boldness to be able to say, the reason it is this way is because of Jesus Christ. And when we do so, his name is glorified. Now let me ask you this question. Shouldn't Jesus Christ being magnified be the complete and total objective of your life and mine? Shouldn't that be what we're looking for? Doesn't Jesus Christ deserve that we would now live our life so that he would be magnified? So that we would cease to live for ourselves, for our comfort, for what we want, for what we think would be best for us, or even for our children or our grandchildren? Shouldn't it instead be about the fact that we want Jesus to be magnified? I'm reminded of Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and majesty, I think. I forget the exact wording. Glory and honor and praise, something like that. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Right? That should be our goal. That, Lord, because you are the creator of all things, you alone are worthy of receiving all of these things, this glory and honor and majesty. And friends, that's the reality of where our lives should be. And I'm sad to say that many times the way we live our lives is we're more concerned about, but what about me? But what about my rights and my concerns? And what about those of my children and my grandchildren? And I'm not saying we should never pray about those things or never even voice our concerns about those things, but is that all we can think about in the face of all that God has given us? Is that all that our minds can be filled with? Are we not rather filled with a desire that the Lord Jesus Christ would be magnified? Do we not love him enough to have his desires be our desires? And sadly, I think if I'm honest, I'd have to say that the majority of independent, fundamental Baptist Christians, many times our desire is more for, but what about me, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, I'm right there with you. And shame on us if that's where our concern is. So that was the first question. Why should we ask for boldness? Because without it, we sit on the sidelines, because with it, Jesus is glorified. The second question that we should ask ourselves about boldness is this: what does boldness look like? Well, in Acts chapter 4, certainly we can see that if we look at verse, let's see here, I believe it's verse 31, right? And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So obviously it means that they were able to speak the word of God, but think about this. What does boldness look like? What does the Bible give us as a definition of what boldness looks like? Well, may I remind you of Proverbs 28 and verse number 1. Do you remember that verse where it says, the righteous are bold as a lion? So boldness looks like a lion. That's a pretty good illustration. And what does a lion look like? Well, a lion does his thing understanding that he has a very high standing on the food chain. Would you agree with me on that? A lion goes through his day not really concerned with what anyone else thinks about him or even fearing what anyone else will do. Not that he's not careful, not that he isn't wise and astute in some of the things that he does, but he walks through that savanna or that, you know, jungle, wherever you want to put a lion, and he understands, listen, I am on the top of the food chain, I'm in control, and pretty much where I want to go, I'm going to go. And the righteous are bold as a lion. That means this, that we have been put very high on the, if I can use this term, food chain in the spiritual world, haven't we? Do you remember what Jesus said in his last words in Matthew 28 and verse 18? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Let me say that again. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Why did he start it out with all power is given unto me in heaven and earth? Because he wants you and me to understand that we are to go through this life with some boldness as long as we're doing his work. Now listen, if you're doing your work, you can't claim his boldness. If you're doing your work and selfishly wanting to get your agenda across, then you can't go through with the boldness saying that, well, Jesus' power is with me. No, his power is with us when we're doing his work, which is going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. That means that we ought to have boldness that's like a lion in this whole thing, that we understand that it is God's desire that we do the work of the gospel. And that's the boldness that we ought to have. But let me give you a specific example from Daniel chapter 3. So we haven't looked at a whole lot of scripture other than Acts 4. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. I think it would be good for us to see this in action in one of the stories that God gives us in what happened in the days of the prophet Daniel. Daniel chapter number 3, and we want to look at verse 16. You remember Daniel 3 is the chapter where we find that the three Hebrew children, as we call them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they were called to worship the golden image, bow down in front of it. And they would not do so. In fact, they were able to defy the order of the king with boldness. Okay? Now, here's what it says, verse 16 of Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful, in other words, full of care, to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, friends, that is boldness. They were able to look King Nebuchadnezzar in the eye, this great king, the great king of his day, and say, we're not full of care, we're not careful about this, we don't have to worry about it, we're not full of all kinds of concern, we know exactly what God wants us to do, and we're bold in it. And God is able, and he will deliver us, and if by some chance we got that wrong, and he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to do what you tell us to do in worshiping this false god. That's boldness. That's the kind of boldness that you and I ought to have, that we understand that God has given us a commission, something that we are to do, that is to get the gospel out to the world, that is to preach the word of God, to teach people, to encourage them, and all of those things. And we need to ask for boldness in the face of tyranny. Listen, if we end up seeing times where they tell us that we cannot do what God has called us to do, if they tell us that we cannot give the gospel out or whatever other things, then we need to be bold in that. And then we'll only have that when we ask for that boldness. So the first question was, why should we ask for boldness? Second question, what does boldness look like? Third question, what brings boldness? What brings boldness? And I have three answers to that question. Number one, an understanding that God is with us brings boldness. Because really, that's the issue, isn't it? I don't have any strength in myself. You don't have any strength in yourself. We are just a small church. But God is with us, and that ought to bring boldness. Turn with me over to Psalm 46. Psalm 46 will be a good psalm for us to remember. Psalm 46, and we're going to read the whole thing. It's not that long. Psalm 46, it has, I believe, 11 verses. So here we go, verse number one. Notice what it says. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. Notice, God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Friends, that's a psalm that ought to comfort your heart and encourage you in the area of boldness. So the first thing that brings boldness is an understanding that God is with us. Again, when we're doing his work, we're not alone. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28 after he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore? He also ended that statement saying, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's always going to be with us. Therefore, we can go boldly. That means that as you share the gospel with a friend, with a neighbor, with a coworker, God is with you. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is with you, and he will be your refuge. That means that if the days come when, by some very strange circumstance, our liberties are taken away to be the Christians that God wants us to be and to share the gospel, and listen, if that happens, the answer will be not necessarily just to pray, Lord, please change the minds of our leaders, although that's not wrong to do. The answer will be, Lord, give us boldness to do what's right anyway. And when we understand that God is with us, that will give us boldness. The next thing is this, a very obvious one, right? If we want to have boldness, what brings it? Well, number two, asking for it. James 4, verse 2, ye have not because ye ask not. Matthew 7 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We need to ask for boldness. You cannot expect God to give it to you if you do not ask. And by the way, when we ask, we should ask in faith, because God responds to faith. In other words, this, when we ask for boldness, we need to then go out expecting God to give us boldness. Don't wait till you feel boldness, because that's not faith. Go out expecting boldness, and God will give it to you in faith. All right, the third thing that brings boldness is, and this comes from our scripture, turn over to Acts chapter 4, the third thing that brings boldness is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, do you remember in that they, in verse 28 and 29, they asked for boldness, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. It's not a mistake that God included that statement that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Why is that important? Because, friends, without it, you won't have any boldness. Let me say that again. Without the Holy Spirit, you won't have boldness. You remember in the song that we sing, where we sing, the arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. You remember the Apostle Peter, when he was at the Last Supper with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord began to tell his disciples that here tonight, when I'm betrayed, all of you will forsake me. You will all flee. And Peter assured the Lord, oh, no, Lord. No. Though I would die with you, I will never deny you. And Jesus said to him, really? No, these are my words, okay? He said, really? Peter, this night, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. And friends, that was exactly fulfilled just as Jesus said it. But why did that happen? Well, if we fast forward from that setting at that table, and we fast forward to the Garden of Gethsemane, as Jesus was praying in agony, do you remember what he asked the disciples? He asked them to pray with him. And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. And Jesus said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you and I cannot depend on the power of the flesh. We may feel like we would stand for the Lord in boldness now. We may say, oh, no, absolutely. Boy, if it comes to tyranny, if they tell us that we can't preach in the name of the Lord Jesus, then boy, I'll be right there and I'll be preaching it. You know what you'll end up like? You'll be Peter. You'll deny the Lord in front of a little maid who was a servant girl and said, hey, weren't you one of his disciples? And you'll deny the Lord. And by the way, so will I if I depend on the power of the flesh. We're all the same. Our flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know what that means, friends? We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So in order to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, first of all, you must be yielded to his will. God does not give the Spirit to just anybody. Now, I realize if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God. But there's a difference between having the Spirit of God and having the fullness of the Spirit of God. And God gives the fullness of his Holy Spirit to those who obey him, those who want to do His will, those who are yielded to Him. So if you and I are living for ourselves, if we're entangling ourselves with the affairs of this life, rather than trying to please Him who hath chosen us to be soldiers, then we can't expect the fullness of the Spirit. Are you yielded to His will tonight? Can you say with Romans chapter number 12 that you've yielded your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him? Friends, have you yielded yourself to the Lord? If not, then you need to tonight. Let me encourage you, make that decision tonight. What area of your life is it that God has spoken to you about that you're not yielded in? What area have you not given up? What sin have you not confessed? What bitterness or anger have you not gotten right? Friends, hear me and hear me well. You cannot have the fullness of the Holy Spirit without being yielded to the God that gives the Holy Spirit. And so whatever it is, yield tonight. You'll find joy like you've never imagined in yielding to the Holy Spirit. Remember, His fruit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And then let me say this as well. In order to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, not only do we have to be yielded to His will, but we have to turn from known sin. I'm so burdened about that recently, and I appreciate our friend, our brother John Van Gelderen. We just had his brother Jim Van Gelderen here a couple weeks ago, and you know we've had John Van Gelderen here a couple of times. He writes a blog, and I subscribe to that, and I got the email. I think every Wednesday I get an email from him with whatever the latest article is that he wrote. He wrote a good one today about the need for us to really turn to repentance. Like, just like Dr. Jim talked to us, it's not just about, you know, oh Lord, heal our land. Oh Lord, help us. Please give us our freedoms back. Oh Lord, please, you know, turn away the coronavirus. I'm glad that we asked for those things, but that's not really a very mature thing to look for. You know what we should look for? Oh Lord, bring us to our knees. Oh Lord, show me where there's sin in my heart. You remember the psalm that says, search me, O Lord, and know my thoughts. Try me, or search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And friends, that's what we need to do. And when we do, when we allow God to search us, and when we yield to Him in that area, and when we confess sin, friends, it is as sure as we can say about anything that God will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll have boldness. You'll begin to speak up for the Lord in ways you never imagined you could before. And that means that if you maintain that fullness of the Holy Spirit, you continue to walk in truth with God, you continue to be yielded to His will, you continue to confess sin when it comes in your life and get it right with the Lord and keep a short account with God, that means that if the days of real tyranny come, if they begin to tell us, listen, you can't be a Christian and still, you know, be a good citizen. Those things that you used to do are illegal, and that area over here where you used to serve the Lord, we're not going to let you do that anymore. You'll have boldness like the apostles did in Acts 4. But friends, that won't happen unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So the three questions in our message tonight were, why should we ask for boldness? Well, because without it, we're on the sidelines. With it, Christ is glorified. What does it look like when we have boldness? We're bold as a lion, and it looks like what the three Hebrew children had in Daniel chapter 3. Our third question was, what brings boldness? Number one, an understanding that God's with us. Number two, asking for it. Number three, fullness of the Holy Spirit. Do you have boldness tonight? Maybe you need to ask for it. Whatever it is, God will give it to you if you seek it in the right way. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how I thank You for the evening that we have had. Thank You for the opportunity to meet together through this technology and preach Your Word and worship together. Now, Lord, I pray You'd help us. Help us to be bold now. Lord, forgive us. We've not witnessed like we should. We've not done what is right. We've not stood up for the Lord Jesus as we should. Lord, we've been timid. We've been shy. And that's because, Lord, we haven't had boldness. We've not been filled with Your Holy Spirit. We've had known sin in our lives that we haven't gotten right. Lord, we've been more focused on the things of this world than on You and Your glory. Father, we've not even asked for boldness. Father, forgive us. Now, Lord, I pray that You would use the message for Your honor and glory. Bless even now in the prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.